Okay, this is David Boyce reporting for the Jodcast. I'm now talking to Monica Grady at NAMM 2007. So exactly why are you here? Are you presenting anything?
Hi David. No, I'm not presenting anything here at NAMM. I've just come to listen and learn and find out what's hot in the different fields.
You've just told me that in astrobiology there's an interesting summer school that's being arranged. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's right. Each year, PPARC as was, but the Science and Technologies Facility Council as is now, they organise summer schools for new PhD students. For two reasons. One, so that the new students can get to know each other from all over Britain, so that they can come together to form their new community. And two, so that they can learn what's state of the art in the broader field. And this year, for the first time, there's going to be a summer school in astrobiology. And this is going to, we hope, draw between 20 and 30 new PhD students who are studying physics, astronomy, biology, chemistry, planetary sciences, bring them all together so they can find out about different aspects of astrobiology, because it's a really broad field.
I know that you were heavily involved with ALH 84001, the meteorite from Mars. I wonder if you can tell me that at the time it was suggested that a small shape in the rock was potentially a fossil of a segmented worm. I wonder if you can tell me what's the latest on that.
Right, well, this work was, 11 years ago now, so it was in 1996, amazingly enough, and some scientists from NASA found this little structure. And since then, there's been a lot of work done on the structure, on the meteorite rather. The general feeling is that it probably wasn't a Martian fossil. If it was any sort of fossil, it was a terrestrial contaminant. But it's more likely that it wasn't a fossil at all, that it was just actually a way the rock had broken. And what it illustrated was that you can't just rely on images alone. You've got to have chemical, isotopic data to help reinforce, because shape is subject to all sorts of different interpretations. What it did do, though, was it really pushed forward Martian exploration and the idea of looking for extremophiles, so microorganisms that live in extreme habitats, looking for those on Mars. So it was a great thing for science, even though it didn't actually turn out to be the first indication of Martian life.
They often refer to meteorites as being the poor man's spacecraft, that a lot of things can be studied when the rocks come to us rather than going elsewhere to study. I wonder, do you think that spacecraft are now the future of astrobiology, or do you still think that meteorites are potentially a good source of information?
Well, given that I make my living studying meteorites, I don't think I'm going to say that that can all be replaced by spacecraft. Definitely not. No, seriously, we can learn so much from meteorites. They fall on the Earth all the time, and they carry within them records of all epochs of solar system history. So you get meteorites that have never been heated, which are the unaltered material that the solar system is made from. And that's the only physical stuff that we can analyse. But buried within those are grains that have come from beyond the solar system. So there's a whole host of grains that were formed before the solar system was formed, grains that have come from red giant stars, from supernovae, and so from other stellar bodies. And they tell us the history of the fragment of molecular cloud that collapsed to form our own solar system. And again, this is the only physical material that we can look at. There is organic stuff there, which is remnants of the molecules from the interstellar medium that undergo iron molecule reactions, so polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, stuff like that. And the building blocks of life, they're all in there. So there's an enormous amount of information we get from meteorites, not just about our solar system, but about our galaxy as well. So it'll be a long, long time before studying meteorites is replaced by spacecraft. So I regard myself as a laboratory-based astronomer. I do my astronomy down the microscope rather than using a telescope.
what do you think about the possibility of life on Europa?
Oh, now, Europa is a really fascinating body, and the problem with Europa is it's so far away and it's going to be so expensive to get there, even with the European Space Agency's new call for missions, where one of the favourite missions is one to go to Europa. One of the fascinating things about Europa is the parallels that there are between Europa and the subglacial lakes in Antarctica. So Antarctica's covered by ice, and below that ice there are many, many lakes which contain microorganisms which have been isolated there for hundreds of thousands of years, and it's possible that similar sort of organisms might survive below the ice on Europa. It's going to be a real challenge to determine how we can get through many kilometres of ice on Europa.
What's the cutting edge at the moment? What are you working on right now?
Right. Cutting edge research. Now, my problem is that I've got my fingers in so many pies. I'm doing so many different things. Yeah, I get to committee meetings, write grant proposals, get my grant proposals rejected, etc., etc. But I've got a student at the moment who's working on ultraviolet spectroscopy, and we've got a really neat machine, a really neat telescope, which can measure the spectra of solids and liquids from about 190 nanometers up to about 800 nanometers. So it's not the VUV, but it's UV up to and through the visible. And we're using that to look at a whole range of minerals and ices and minerals in ices, so that we can look at the ultraviolet spectra of asteroids, Kuiper Belt objects, Europa, various other things, to find out what sort of materials are in those objects. There has been quite a lot of UV spectroscopy done by telescope, you know, IUE, FUSE, things like that, but there are very few lab databases, and so we're actually doing a lab database so we can match our work with asteroids and see what space weathering does to asteroids, look at debris disk around stars, all sorts of things, because organics have very distinctive UV signatures. So that's the work I'm doing at the moment.
In the field of astrobiology, what are the big questions that you predict will be solved in the next 10 years?
Oh, crikey, in the next 10 years. Well, I really hope in the next 10 years we'll know a lot more about Mars and about what's on the surface of Mars and what's just below the surface. I think Mars is going to be where it's at for the next few years, but after that, Europa, I think, is going to have to be our focus.
Monica Grady, thank you very much.